weeks ago, we started into a series on ministries leading up to our ministry fair. And when I started into this series, I was trying to find a good definition for the word minister. But when you go and you look for the definition of minister, and some of you guys might Google this and go to dictionary.com or whatnot as I'm speaking, it says the work of a minister. That doesn't help me out much at all. I want a definition. I thought in school I learned that you can't define a word by a word, but the work of a minister, or the party of people that do ministry or whatever. And so that didn't describe it. So I went looking for the origin of the word minister. So where did the English word come from? Maybe it came through some other languages to gain some meaning, because I knew where it came from in the Greek, and we'll go back there also. But the origin comes from kind of a Latin and a French background, and both of those mean what the Greek word means, diakonos, and that's just service. It's just service, but you and I know ministry is more than service. We're more than just simple table waiters, because that's where the word came from, but ever since its inception, the word ministry, or ever since the church's inception, the word ministry has been attached to the church. So much so that when you look at the definitions, the definition of a minister, it's what a minister does. It's someone that's connected to church work, and that's how we understand the word minister. And it's come a long way from its origin. I mean, we're not going to go to restaurants today, and we're not going to tip our ministers, are we? We don't call them ministers, we call them what? Servers. Waiters. So, servers, table waiters. So the word minister that we have definitely has something more to it. It's service with purpose, service with a focus. And so in the absence of a good definition of that word, I gave to you my best understanding of the word, and that is that ministry equals acts towards others done with a direct motive to reveal God through that service. And I forgot to grab my paper off the printer. So Judah, if you need a guide, you can grab it. It's on the printer, or you can just connect with me here. So ministry is special. Ministry is a function of the church. And we are all ministers. Please let me remind you of that. I was just asked the other day in a conversation, why don't we call you pastor? And the reason why is very embarrassing, actually, because the Church of Christ, Christian churches, we want to keep ourselves separate from everybody else. And that's really the reason why we don't use, because other churches call their ministers pastors, and we don't want to be like them. That's really where the origin, the best I can find, of why we don't. Because a pastor teacher, that's the gift set that is described in Ephesians chapter 4. That Jesus gave pastor teachers to the church to do what I do. Now, I don't get hung up on a title. I don't care. I do what I do, no matter what it's called. The work of a pastor, the work of a teacher. What bothers me with calling David and I ministers is because we get this separation that we're ministers and you're not. And that is absolutely biblically false. That is incorrect. A minister is not a description. It's not a title of a position in the church. Pastor teacher is a group of people that are gifted for that gift. But a minister, that's a description of anybody who has received reconciliation with God, that they have been reconciled with God. Let me remind you of that passage that we read a few weeks ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if, what's that word? So, are we waiting to get, did he run to get that? Nope. Therefore, if what? Does that mean that's me? It does. It means it's me. Does it mean it's you? Absolutely. But we have a clause here, so let's figure out what. So anyone is in Christ. Okay. So any Christian. So now it would include you and I with more of a defined. It's not just anyone. It's anyone in Christ. Anyone who is a Christian. Anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself Okay, so who's he talking about? Let me remind you. We grab little verses and we compartmentalize little verses. So anyone in who? In Christ. That means Christians is a new creation. And then he says, through Christ reconciled. Right? You, me, Christians. We're going back to the last verse, connecting that, because I don't want this to be misunderstood. And through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave the what? It's not just my job. It's my title, because that's what we call it in our church. But we are all ministers. You're a minister. I'm a minister. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. We've been reconciled to God, and he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, he explains what this is. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. And that's another important word. What? Is it up there? Yep. Entrusting. Entrusting to us. Who? Okay. I'm not talking down to you. It's just amazing how often I've come across this in the many years of ministry. Us. It's not like some like hieroglyphic, you know, where we have to decipher it and you need a cipher to figure out what the code is. It's very clear here in 2 Corinthians. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. He's given to us this ministry of reconciliation, entrusted to us, the same us that was us the verse before, the anyone in Christ before, trusted to us the message of reconciliation. So the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we, not just people in a position, we, all of us, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So call me what you like. I don't mind. I mean, we're not going to go change the web page or anything like that. I can be preaching minister and David can be a student or youth minister, and that's fine. But don't let that skew your view of biblically that we are all ministers. We're all in that. We're all together as ministers. We've been given by God the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, because we ourselves have been reconciled to God. Therefore, we are his ambassadors representing him as God makes his appeal to the world through us. We are servants, ministers, but that word has gained meaning, since it's been attached to the church, that we are servants with a purpose, servants with a focus, that we serve, that our acts of service toward others are done with a direct motive to reveal God through that service, and that's ministry, and that's what we are all responsible for. I talked about that in the first message of this series. Due to the length of that service, I'm not sure how much of that was retained. It is online, and I encourage you. There was some stuff in that message I was super, super excited to be able to share. That was our first Sunday incorporating all the parts that we had, so we course corrected the next Sunday. But I think a lot of you might have tuned out towards the end of that, and that I totally understand it. But go back and check out that sermon. There was a lot of really good stuff in there on this topic, and one of the big parts of that is that as ministers, that we are responsible for the ministry of reconciliation. We're not owners. That ministry, that belongs to God, and any of the small ministries that we're involved in, individual ministries, we're not owners of those ministries. And I talked about how there's a big mind shift that happens between that very, it seems like a very thin line, but it's a huge shift in thinking that I'm in charge of my ministry, I own my ministry, get away, you know, you get the elbows up and no one gets close, you know, and you're not going to work with other groups because it's mine and that's theirs, and you're not going to tell them how to do theirs, and you're not going to, no, it's a responsibility, and that breaks walls down. It is our responsibility. We are not owners, we are managers, we are stewards. Larry Anderson said, I like having that word attached to that. We are stewards of what someone else owns. God is the owner. Let's write this down. We're going to review real quick these messages we've listened to as we put this, because there was a real nice thread built through these last few weeks. I don't function as the owner. I function as the responsible steward of the ministry I've been called to. I don't function as the owner. I function as the responsible steward of the ministry I have been called to. That is a very important truth for us to wrap our minds around, that we are not the owner. We don't take ownership of things, that we instead are responsible. We're called to be responsible with what God has entrusted to us. There's that word highlighted from 2 Corinthians 5. He's entrusted to us our gifts, our talents, the acts of service that we're involved in, i.e. ministry. The next week we talked about redemption. We talked about coupons. You guys remember that? Remember coupons? Let's write this down. I am a coupon. I am a coupon. God made me with purpose and value in my mother's womb. We had value from the beginning. But when we found Christ, when we found ourselves in Christ, we learned what that value was. We learned what that worth was, that we had value and worth that were woven into us as we were knitted together in our mother's womb. Value and worth that were meant to be put into motion when we became Christians. God made us with purpose. And when you come into the kingdom, you discover your purpose. It's revealed to you. You are redeemed like a coupon. I talked a little bit about spiritual gifts in that second message, but then Solonique and I kind of tagged up like old school wrestling. Remember they'd tag each other? And I don't know how two of them got in the ring at the same time. How did, like, they didn't even tag, and there's two guys in there, and the ref's not doing nothing. Some guy's got a chair. What's the tag rule? Anyway, we did it legally. I spoke one Sunday, and then Solonique took over, and he shared about spiritual gifts in a great sermon. If you missed any of these, they all fit well together. A big takeaway from Solonique's sermon is that as a Christian, let's write this down, I've been gifted by God's choosing. God chose your gift. And so I am responsible to use my gift to do my job in his church. So we're not owners, we're responsible. We're responsible. We've been equipped from the very beginning of our existence. He knit us together with gifts and talents and a special personality. And you're just, every one of us are special people. And as soon as we come into the kingdom, we realize all this I can use for great stuff. And then he gives us that charisma, that the grace-given gift, a spiritual gift, to serve in a specific area in his church. And so when you've been given that gift, you are responsible to use that gift to do your job in his church. Then we had Larry Carter share on the simplicity of our identity in God, that as a Christian, my identity is in God. My identity is in God. Therefore, my purpose is to impact the world around me with the truth of the gospel. We belong to God, and we live in a world that is infiltrated by Satan, by the enemy. We have a purpose to be out there with the truth of the gospel, that we are to impact the world around us with the gospel of Christ. And all of this is ministry. All of this is talking about ministry. All of these weeks, reflecting back to that definition that ministry equals acts towards others done with a direct motive to reveal God through that service. Using your gifts and talents given to you from birth, using your spiritual gifts, being responsible with those, being responsible with your calling, and knowing that you belong to God and we have a purpose, we have a reason. And so that led me to this next step. And that is that all ministry then is evangelical. Let's write that down. You guys, a lot of the things I bring have been things I've let simmer for a while. This series, the things I brought in the two sermons before we had guest speakers and a little bit today, it's pretty fresh. I'm still flushing it out. But as quickly as I could, I thought, no, this fits. I mean, you think back, and I absolutely don't have time for this. I wanted to. But you have eyeballs, and you have brains. And even if you don't have eyeballs, you can listen to it. YouVersion is wonderful. Where that Advent is, the Advent series, it's free on YouVersion. It's an app. It's a Bible app. You can read any version of the Bible that you would ever imagine wanting to have without having to pay a cent. Not only that, but you can set it up to dictate to you or to speak to you. So you can set it up in your car, run it through your stereo, and sit there and just listen to the Bible on your way to work or on your way to the store or wherever you're going. I encourage you, listen or read, review the book of Acts. Everything was about evangelism. Everything was about sharing the gospel. When they were giving so the gospel could move forward. When they were sacrificing so that the gospel could move forward. When they were in a town, fellowshipping and sharing and getting to know people and building relationships, the purpose of that was evangelism, that is to move the gospel forward. And you constantly read in the book of Acts, and they grew, and they grew, and there was 3,000, and there was 5,000, and then the church grew, and the church grew, and the church expanded, and the church moved. Why? Because it was the church's motivation to share the gospel. That's why they had a goal. They set a goal, and they marched to it, and they ran to it, and everything funneled that way. We have this, we have this. We have this. That's why we don't see as much in modern day church. We have all these ministries that serve a surface level, but they're not always pointed to evangelism. And that can make a huge shift for us here. As we come off the ministry fair, let me get to that in a minute. We have core values for a reason. We spent a lot of time in prayer. We worked hard on these. You guys have this. It's on the website. There are half sheets like this have been at the Information Center. I just swapped them out with the new logo this past week. Our core values help guide us and lead us in all of the different ministries we do. And it's in our logo. So when we go back to our logo, we look at our first branch here, this big long one. We go to the next one. Next slide. So there's our logo and all the branches. If you remember, all the branches have to do with our core values. That first branch is that God is first and all things following him is the priority. There's no branches branching off of it. When you look at the logo now, if you hadn't seen it before, if you weren't here for the Sunday we broke it down, you'll look at that and you'll go, wow, that branch is kind of a little bigger. It stands out a little bit and it's supposed to. This is the priority, is following God. Matthew 22, there's a handful of verses on the website that you can go to. The key verse here is that Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." The second branch is our second core value. That's devoted to God. A full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. That's the only branch that has any interruptions in it. And those interruptions represent steps of faith. That we walk by faith. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16:24, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So it's a complete abandonment of self and a full devotion to God. Our third branch is a third core value, that knowing or growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples for Jesus. And those branches, they split, then those branches split again, signifying that idea of multiplying, of growing. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Branch 4 is narrow. It means actively investing, getting in there, actively investing, taking personal responsibility and doing what ever it takes to move the gospel forward. 1 Corinthians 9, for though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. Skipping down a few verses, I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessings. It was the attitude of the first church. You see it painted all through the New Testament and our Bible. Their focus was moving the gospel forward. And they did it because they were connected to God. They were devoted. There wasn't any other priority. He was the priority. They followed him in faith. They walked in faith. They completely abandoned themselves and they focused on God. And they were fully devoted to him. And they made disciples. They did. They took Jesus seriously. They did everything they could to move the gospel forward. And that's why you see in the book of Acts, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. The last branch is connecting with people, our fifth core value. Connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. That branch has a number of offshoots that represent connections with different people. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So we go back to the logo here. We see the first two. The first two connect with growing in God. That God is the priority, he is first, and that we are going to be dependent on God. And the last three are involved in investing in people. We grow in God, and the result of that is not just to be, oh, I'm growing in God, that feels great. It does. We make good decisions, we make great decisions when we follow the word, when we follow his spirit. But that's not all of it. If that's all we're doing is growing in God and we're just becoming spiritually fat Christians, that's not the goal. The goal is that we grow in God to invest in other people. We grow in God to advance the gospel. We grow in God to take the gospel to those who do not yet have it, who have not yet been convinced of it. If we're only doing the first part, we're really missing out on this whole church thing that God had in mind, that Jesus had in mind from the very beginning of the church. And we see it played out in the early church. Their goal was to win souls. They set a goal and they shot for it. That's where they went. To convince people of the love of God in the gospel story, to make eternal differences into their current trajectory. And they did this because they believed in the saving power of Jesus Christ. They believed in the truth that those who died outside of Christ were destined to spend eternity in hell. They believed it. And so they acted on that belief. They were 100% certain. And so they were committed to grow in God. And they were committed to grow God's kingdom. They were committed to actively invest, doing whatever it took to move the gospel forward. They were committed to connecting with people, building relationships with the purpose of revealing God to them, because they took seriously the truth of the gospel message. It wasn't because of some talented big tent revival speaker. It wasn't because they had all the money in the world. It wasn't because they had all the technology at their disposal. It wasn't because they had fancy lights and fog machines on stage. No, why did the church grow in the early church? It was because individuals believed 100% in the gospel message and they acted on it. And everything they did pointed that direction. Let's write this down. The gospel is powerful. Church, we have to know that and believe that. And we know it here. That has to move 12 inches, church. It had to move from here to here. You have to believe it in the gut of who you are, in your soul, in your innermost being, that the gospel is powerful. That the gospel is important. There's no other decision that a human can make that is more important than what they decide to do with Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we are entrusted with that is more important than the gospel of Jesus. And if we acted like that was the most important thing we were entrusted with, I think we would do things differently. I'm not trying to browbeat. I'm just speaking truthfully to you. And I'm down here with you. But just because I'm here with you doesn't mean I shouldn't be sharing things that are truth. Are you with me? It's powerful. It's important. And it must be an urgent matter. Sharing the gospel must be an urgent matter. Sorry. When I got the call yesterday about Chris, I had tears on my face while I was praying with her. We don't know what's going to happen today. I hope she's still with us. She's in my inner circle. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I have a picture. It's actually the little funeral announcement card of Autumn Frost. A lady that came to church here. Was baptized into Christ. In fact, she's on the website. If you see a lady being baptized on her website, that's her. She came from a life of addiction, and when she came to Christ, man, it was real. It was awesome. She understood Scripture right away. She had a spiritual gift for understanding Scripture. It made the rare choice of inviting her onto the preaching team, just being a baby in Christ, because she got it. She read Scripture and it made sense to her. And I was like, well, come on in. Let's rock and roll. Filled with great ideas, filled with passion. We had numerous phone conversations where she was into this and into that and learning things and growing and had suggestions and research, and she just ate it all up. She kind of faded away a little bit. And that's always a difficult place, because I don't want to bug someone and push them further away. I think we've all felt that way. But you don't want to not say anything, because you want them to know there's still a connection. You still care about them. So I touched base with her. And maybe there was nothing. But that picture and that card is there to remind me, don't ever think you're asking too many times. Be aggressive. Be in there, connect with people. Because she had one slip up and she died with a needle in her vein in a laundry mat laced with fentanyl. She was gone. You don't know. So we need to understand the gospel is an urgent matter. It is an urgent matter. What Sundays do I have? I have another one coming up. We need to jump right into the I'll push and go as quick as I can. John 3 or 6:37 says that all the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So let's write this down. I don't speak on this very long, but we need to be reminded. God will bring the people. And that's that truth is shared like five different times in the Gospel of John. It's just not one verse that says God brings, where Jesus says that the Father brings them to me. God brings them. I had a minister years ago share with me to take the burden. He said, hey, it's not you. You do your job. You teach the people. You pastor, you teach. God brings the people. God calls the people. That's on him. God will bring the people. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. The ministry fair last week was a great event. We got lots of signatures. Chris has a lot of work. And that's awesome. That is excellent. If you missed that for any reason, then please see Chris Beard. He is organizing these lists, and we're going to be talking about those coming up. In the schedules are out in the books and out online, but there's a little different twist to them this time. I only did December because based on what we received from all of this, that'll give me another month to kind of, if we want to, you know, put some people in the rotation beginning of the year, then I can post the next 2 months of this quarter. So just in case you go there and you're like, it's just 1 month, it's okay. We'll get January and February when we get there. But I want you to think, I mean, we had 52 ministries out on the tables. I want us to think about this. If ministry really, if my definition is a correct and accurate ministry, and I believe it is, our definition of ministry, that ministry equals acts of service to reveal God, to deliberately, to intentionally reveal God to others. If that is what ministry is, then all ministry is evangelical. And I want us to think about, how can all these things that we signed up for, how can they be evangelical? And I think, I know, that's going to make a huge difference to turn things up here. If we would each think about the ministries that we are responsible to, and how those ministries can be more evangelical. In our involvement ministry, the purpose of that ministry is to have events where you can bring people to. Yes, it's great for us to visit and share. But and we've shared it a number of times, but it has to be all of us looking and saying, oh, that can be evangelical. You can bring people that you've wanted to invite to church. That's the purpose. To a Cyclones game or to go bowling or go putt-putt or to build a gingerbread house. Those events are, yeah, they're fun for us. And that is a part of them. But we need to think evangelically about them as well. If it's a ministry, then it has an evangelic focus. We should be bringing people to those events. That's what they're there for. To get to know people in the church. I tell you, when I went to youth group, my best friend was a Christian and he kept inviting me to youth group. I went to youth group when they would go to the go-kart, when they would go go-kart riding. I didn't miss a Sunday evening or a Wednesday night or whatever when they would go go-kart riding. All my friend would have to say, we're going to go. And I was, sign me up. I love the go-karts. That's fun. Hide and seek. If I knew they were playing hide and seek, I was there. I like hide and seek. I've always been a ninja. Now, was it on lap 3 of a 10-lap go-kart race where I decided to give my life to Christ? No. But did that build a bridge? Absolutely. These events, they serve that purpose. They can serve that purpose. Here I am, years later, as a minister, because of go-kart races. You never know. So use those events evangelically. Think of them that way. How can helping in the resource room I mean, think of all the ministries we signed up for, and you think that one is pretty far from evangelical. No, not so much at all. You're in a supporting role, supporting people who are on the front lines of evangelism, sharing the gospel with our children. That's important. And it's a mind shift. And it's not back there thinking, oh, I'm just organizing things. I'm in a room with stuff, telling a person what stuff we're out of. You guys remember the Etch-a-Sketches? Remember? Okay? Etch-a-Sketch your brain. No! You are supporting people who are sharing the gospel with children on a weekly basis by making sure they have the materials they need to be efficient and effective in sharing the gospel. Shift your thinking about all of these different ministries. Helping in the nursery, that's the child's first exposure to church. But you're ministering to the parents. You're allowing the parents to come in here and grow in God so that they can be equipped to invest in other people. In fact, any of the support roles help support areas where you have teachers. From preaching to small groups to small Bible studies, men and women's Bible studies, Sunday schools, children's teachers, youth group sponsors, communion meditation. You're coming in here on a Saturday and you're setting up communion. It's for the Christians. Oh, now we're stumped. That's for Christians. That's not evangelical. What happens when you have someone outside of Christ hear a communion meditation and see how somber and serious Christians take the Lord's Supper? That's evangelical. Yes, I'm doing it as a communion between me and God. I'm not doing it to show for anybody. But when that sincere activity is witnessed, it makes an impact. Just like when you're a kid and you'd see something your parents would do that they would take very seriously, you would take note and you go, I don't quite understand all that's going on, but I can tell that matters a lot to them. It's the same with worship. If you're any part of worship, you're in the back, you're helping support. If you're on stage, you're helping to lead. And we're leading Christians in worship. But when people who come in, who are on their journey, on their way to getting to know Christ, and they hear people singing in one voice, proclaiming the truth that they believe in who God is, what he has done for us, how thankful and how grateful we are for what he has done for us, that's evangelical. If we think that way about everything we do, it's going to change. It's going to shift. Oh, there's so many ministries. Partnering with Matthew 25. And you're just putting clothes in boxes. I'm just sorting. No. You're helping a ministry to serve people, and their purpose is to share the gospel with those people. You're part of that. If you're a liver, you're still part of the body. You might not be the hands on the final piece of it. But anybody that knows anything about internal organs, your external organs can't do jack if your internal organs are messed up. If they're not doing their job, it doesn't matter how many hands or feet you have. You could be a spider. If your heart's not ticking right, they're not going to work right. So when you're in those supportive roles, you're doing great things. We've got an awesome opportunity out there. These pink sheets, and I'd love to see someone get passionate about this and work, lead a ministry, a group of people here to be able to be more connected with the Outreach Pregnancy Center. But they're doing a really cool thing. Please just read this. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but they're looking for people to donate baskets that they can that they can auction off. And the baskets, they have a lot of cool ideas, and it's just a cool idea, period. But just the whole concept, they're doing great things for ladies that would be faced with the decision of aborting their child or keeping their child, and they're active. They're on the front lines of making a difference there because life matters to God. And they're trying to reach people with the hope of Christ through this service. So a great group to partner with, a great group to be involved with. Oh, missions, our outreach. You know, our car show is not just a way to make money for an individual ministry group in our church. It's a way to be involved in our community. It's a way to show them that we care. Opening the door for evangelical opportunities. Our Care and Share ministry, it's great. It does great things. But it's not just about helping families in need. It's about showing them that they matter to God. So we can't just view that as, well, we're just helping some families out that are in need. No, you are sharing the love of God with those families. Take it up simple. Greeters at the front door. That's what they do. They're the first face. You're not just someone that hands out a bulletin and tells them where communion is. Opens the door for them. You're not a door woman or a door man. You are the first touch of God's love that someone sees on a Sunday morning. That's what a greeter is. There's so many things we're going through in the hospitality ministry. It's exciting. Greeters are, you know, Donna pulled you guys aside and prayed with you this morning. That was one of the things we were talking about in the hospitality ministry. What if every morning the greeters were pumped up before they went to go greet? And they were focused on this matters more than what, we just get used to it. We just do it, it's our thing, we do it. I think that's another, I didn't even have that a few weeks ago, but that might be another thing that goes along with a negative of ownership. It's a responsibility, that never gets old. I'm responsible to be a face, to greet people with the love of God at the doors. Martial arts, that definitely happens in there. I'm not quiet about the gospel. Shuttle service, the idea of moving people from point A to point B. No, it's not just point A to point B. It's moving them from where they are to a place where they can grow in God and eventually invest in people. Ah, there's so much, so much, so much. Think about all of the ministries, and I had thoughts on every one of them, actually. Oh my goodness, I'm skipping so much. So much time spent writing. Coffee bar, is that evangelical? Yes. When someone feels comfort and warmly welcomed, that allows them to open up more to the connections, and connections lead to being able to share with people. I want us to think even a step further. If we're all facing the same direction, we're all going by the same core values, we're all going by this mission statement, which is based off of Jesus' love God, love others, based off the old Ten Commandments. The first half were vertical, the second half were horizontal. Love God, love others. Grow in God, invest in people. And if all our ministries are facing the same way, and they're not owned by any of us, but we're all responsible with them, and we're responsible to work together, what would happen if there was a synergy? Our prayer quilt ministry is awesome. Can it be better? Can it be more intentional? Well, it could be if we start linking some of these ministries together. It's great to get, I mean, the prayer quilt, we hear story after story after story. But what if there was a team to follow up the prayer quilt and give them a call. Hey, we've been praying for you. It didn't stop with the quilt. How you doing? Is there any way we can connect with you? Oh, what if there's an in-between one? What if we had a hospital visitation team that not only took care of our own, but when we found out about the prayer quilt people, they would go and visit them and deliver the quilt as another connection from the church, not just the church connection we have. And then they get a phone call. And then, I mean, our aftercare, we do a great job of caring for ourselves and the aftercare side of things. But what if that then were passed along to an aftercare ministry that then called them up and said, hey, I'm from the church you got the prayer quilt from, and where, you know, Tom and Sally came and visited you in the hospital, and you got a phone call from so-and-so, and we understand you're getting out of the hospital, and that's great news. We're excited for you. Can we provide for you a week's worth of meals? Would that help you? And none of this with the sole purpose of serving them, but with the purpose of serving them to share Christ with them. And when you have that in mind, then all of these touches are going to be just a little skewed in the positive way toward sharing Christ with them, sharing the gospel with them in all these ways. And then when they're healed up and they say, you know what, I'd like to go visit that church. Look at all these people they have a connection with when they come in here. That's one chain, one example, and one little brain thinking of this. What happens when all 100 of us are thinking, ooh, what if we did this? What if we did this? What if we connected this? What if this ministry worked with this ministry? What if this ministry worked with this ministry? How awesome would that be, church? Is it just me? I hope it's not just me. That would turn things upside down. And all it would mean, and it sounds so simple, is that we would just be reverting our thinking back to what the church should be thinking about anyway. That as you go, which is another way you can translate therefore go, as you go into your worlds, into your circles, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Christ taught us. We do bereavement meals for people who have lost a loved one in the church. Could that be evangelical? I'm sad for the family. I'm sad for the loss, but I love doing Christian funerals. You know, Charlie's. We miss him. But we celebrate. He was in Christ, no doubt. I've done some very sad funerals where I get calls from funeral homes, families that don't have church connection, and I can't share a Christian message. They're difficult. What kind of impact would it make if in that interaction I'd just be able to offer, hey, if your family would like to come back to our church, we'd provide a meal for you in a space where you can visit and start the healing process. Let's just think that way, church. So let's write this down. Every ministry in our church should be focused on moving the gospel forward. And Jesus talks about how the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. If the gospel were that important to us, I think we'd do some things differently. He speaks of a merchant who is in search of fine pearls, who finds one pearl of great value, and he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the treasure we have in jars of clay, church. The ministry of ministry of reconciliation that we are responsible to. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for letting us be part of your ministry of reconciliation, that you would be so risky to make your appeal through broken people who are not perfect. We try to be good examples, but not always. Father, I ask that you would help us as your church, that we would run and seek after all the great things that you would have for us, that we would empty our minds, or at least lay our minds down. We've got good thoughts and good ideas in our heads, but to lay those down and allow them to be refined through your wisdom. Father, I pray that you help us to be more intentionally active in moving your gospel forward. We are in a world that desperately needs your truth and your love and your grace, your guidance. And we have it. Help us to learn how to give it better. Help us to be responsible with what you have given and entrusted to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ooh, I'm excited. I think there's some cool stuff happening. Pray about it. Think about this. Let your mind go, whoa. Talk with God. Keep in step with his spirit. When he brings an idea to you, go, oh, let me share that with some Christian brothers and sisters. Let's test the waters with it. It's one of the great things about the brand new hospitality ministry. We're throwing out all sorts of different ideas. And if one of us throws out an idea and the other two are kind of like, eh, okay, well. One of us throws out an idea and the other two are like, oh yeah. Well, then the next Sunday, the greeters are getting prayed for. Simple. But if all of our ministries are thinking, how can we make this more effective? How can we turn this up? How can we be more in line with each other, moving in the same direction? That could be a beautiful thing. And I'm excited to see that happen. So pray about that. Let the Spirit speak to you. Let your spirit go crazy inside your head. Look at those, grab the pamphlets. If you don't have them from the weeks before, grab the pamphlets and look through those ministries and think, how can these connect?